What would it be like if you were to spend your life doing the most important thing? Imagine just how much you would be able to accomplish each and every day of your life. As soon as you completed one of the tasks, you'd go to the next most important thing and get it completed. Today's lessons, the main thought is, what's the benefit of proper priorities? And we need, as Christians, to take this very, very seriously. If you were to poll everyone here in this room right now, most people would say that, yes, I'm a Christian. And most people would say, yes, I'm going to heaven. But then if you were to ask, do you keep and maintain the proper priorities of a Christian? Most could not honestly say yes. That's just the facts. So today, ultimately, the greatest of all benefits that from seeking the kingdom first, the theme and the thought of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The most important thing that we hope to gain, I think, is capsuled in words in a song of William Slater, "Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest, safe, in a safe abode with Jesus and the blessed, rest for a weary soul, once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with my God above." And so, that heavenly country, not here on this earth, but what we hope to have. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And many times, we're looking to achieve all these things that Jesus said will be added to us instead of seeking first the kingdom of God. So we're going to focus a few moments on priorities, and it naturally comes up, what are priorities? In general, they are what's important. What is most important? Matters of importance. Matthew chapter 6, we read of things that concern the Gentiles. People viewed Gentiles as dogs, as a baser sort of people because of how they lived and what they saw as important. Animals are concerned with food and clothing, as it were, food and shelter, living and surviving, taking care of their young. That's what animals are after and looking for. Have you ever watched a bird? It lives to eat and it eats to live. Along the way, it has offspring. Now that may not be it in its entirety, but that's pretty much the life of a bird. It lives, it sings, it builds a nest, it reproduces, takes care of its young, eats, drinks, and dies. The priorities of a bird are to survive until it dies, and leaving behind offspring. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. Food, water, clothing, all these things will be provided for us. That's why he asked, are you not of much greater value than a bird? And so we find that God will take care of us. God will take care of you. So now, where do you seek the kingdom? Where do you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Is it in a building? You know, many times, as a general rule, it's 3 to 5 hours worth of worship when we assemble together. Now, that's 2 hours on Sunday morning, an hour Sunday night, and an hour on Wednesday night. Is that seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Is that enough for all these things to be added to you? Now, where I'm going to wind up with this is that if we are seeking the kingdom of God in a church building, then that's where we ought to set up camp and live and thrive, and that's it. But we know that's not the intent of the Scriptures. Seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and following, Jesus tells us what is the greatest commandment. Matthew 22, verse 37 and following, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love your neighbor is a great commandment. First love God, and then love your neighbor. He's listing priorities. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seeking the kingdom. I'm going to set before you a major, if not the major, reason for sin and problems. It's a lack of priorities and holding to them. To be able to see what's important and then doing it. You'll see within even Christians, people fight and feud and have troubles and hardships one with another because they have lost what Jesus said is that we are to have, love. Love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. So many times we need to realize that these priorities are priorities for a reason because they're important and we need to follow them. And therefore benefits will follow. Seeking the kingdom first. You know, I've been told, and I'm sure some of you have too, when you're telling people you need to be a Christian and you need to live it, and they say, well, I can't read the Bible all the time. I can't spend all my time. I have to go to work. I have to work for a living. Yes, and there's a good chance that's exactly what you need to be doing. But, yes, working. But not only working. Not just working for a living. You are working for the Lord. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, I will gladly spend and be spent for your souls. In your work, each day of your life, you're doing what you do as a Christian, hopefully, to help save souls. You're living. Now, you have to work, yes, but why are you doing? Why are you here? What's your existence? If you're a mailman, maybe a mechanic or a teacher or a lawyer, whatever the task may be, it doesn't matter the pay. As you work, you influence others. And it's in your environment. It's in your job and it's in your life. How else do we go out into all the world when we have to work for a living? Wherever your world is, you work for the Lord. You live as a Christian. They don't let preachers everywhere. Preachers don't go behind workplaces. They don't go into mailmen's workplace. You don't go behind the counter. But if you happen to be a mailman, you can take the word. And so hence our influence, our ability to live as we should. And so in our lives, what do we talk about? What do we think about? What's important? What's so important that it occupies our lives and our thinking? So what do? How about the Mary versus Martha event? Luke chapter 10, where one is with Jesus. She's happy and content. The other is working, unhappy, flustered, and busy. Where are you? Could it be possible for you to be able to work and enjoy happiness and contentment, working and serving with the Lord by your side, accomplishing many things for His purposes, but only if we have our priorities in order, then all these things shall be added or supplied. The things that the birds need, the birds are fed. And have you ever watched birds? Have you ever paid attention? About 5:45 in the morning, here in Oklahoma at my house, they start waking up, start singing. So when they get fed, it's not because they're sleeping. They don't get fed unless they get up and go, but God takes care of them. Do we have enough faith and trust as a bird does in God to live? And so we're not to just spend our days gathering food and sustenance just to live so that we die one day. God has so much more for us. Now, we do have to work. And when we work, we do what we can. But yet, there's that order of priorities and things that we can do. Priorities are everywhere. And I can prove it to you. Even preparing, as it were, for this lesson, I had to sit down and think, well, what do y'all need to hear? One aspect is understanding priorities. And then the next thought is determining how in the world do you include these in your life. And that happens to be where we are. Determining how to process priorities, incorporating practical lessons so that you're going to take them home and you're going to think about them with the Scriptures, with the understanding. And then, number three, realizing the benefits when we prioritize our lives according to God's will. That's using our time wisely as long as we have time. Speaking of time, there's several things I'm not going to do but mention. And some blessings that when we properly prioritize our life, that we will enjoy. I want to mention three. One thing, it reduces sin. When we prioritize our life in accordance with God's will, it will reduce sin. You're not going to have time to go out and sin. By the end of the day, you're tired, and you sleep, and you wake up, and you start all over again, doing the most important possible thing that you possibly can do. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Christians, what's most important? Putting your hands to the plow and working, and you won't have time to sin. Number two, increase our opportunities. When we properly prioritize our life according to God's will, one benefit is we will have increased opportunities. Many times that's what we're wanting. We're wanting to do something great for God. And we will, if we will but prioritize our life in accordance with His will. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, "For everyone who has been given much, of him much will be required." And then number three, receive God's protection. A lot of times we want God's protection. Why? Well, Satan never goes on vacation, ever. He comes to church with you. He goes home with you. He goes anywhere and everywhere you go, and he's waiting and looking for an opportunity until such time that you are susceptible. Now, he'll leave you just like he left Jesus. When Jesus told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," Satan showed up in the form of Peter, saying, "Surely not, Lord. You're not going to die. You're not going to endure hardship." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, we need to always realize, God says, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." And so when we prioritize our life in accordance with His will, we certainly will enjoy these blessings. Priorities are everywhere. You made it a point to be here. You made it a point to sit here. Now the question is, how important is it for you to take something home? Depends. And so you get to start incorporating this lesson. Is it important to you? And if it is, you may have to take notes. You may have to write down some things. It does take effort to remember. Every sermon, every opportunity, everything takes effort if it's worthwhile. And so you get to determine how important living the Christian life really is to you. And when you leave this place, if you apply these lessons, not just this one, but all of them, how beneficial it really is in our life, how encouraging it is. It is sad to say, though, that Christians can go through the motions. And sometimes do. They just show up. They're there in presence only, not in mind, not in body. And make sure that's not you. Figure out those priorities. What's really important? Was it just important just to be here? Or what was really important? Sometimes we go through the easy listening, learning a little, and going home to relax. You know, that was a problem with David and Bathsheba. You remember David and Bathsheba? What in the world happened? David was at home when he should have been at war. That's what we call today work. Now, he was king, and in those days, kings went to war. Now, we're neither a king, and we're not going to war necessarily. So, what's the application? There are things that we need to do and places we need to go. Otherwise, we will find ourselves in the house of temptation and problems can ensue. And so it's important for us not to relax, not to back away from our priorities and things that we must do. So some of the priorities that we're going to look at more intently, not just mention, I'm not going to be able to exhaust them all, and they may not necessarily be in numerical order of grand importance. You may want to write some of them down. They're not in cute, catchy phrases. They don't rhyme. In fact, when I was going through, I had to write them down myself. So number one, the first benefit of the proper priorities. We are where we need to be and doing the things we need to do when we prioritize our life. Have you ever traveled much? I'm sure some of you have. Have you ever traveled through a place called Dallas, Texas? Somewhere that's loaded with traffic? It is at times a madhouse. Having hundreds, thousands of vehicles, several lanes of traffic. What makes it so difficult to be able to travel through Dallas? Travel through heavy traffic? Well, you don't know which lane to be in. But yet, if you know which lane to be in at the right time, which turn to make, it's a breeze. You just go right where you need to be. You make the right turns, and it's just that simple. When we prioritize our life, we are where we need to be, and we can turn from the wrong and turn to the right just exactly when we need to, because we're doing what we need to do. A great benefit, being where we need to be, doing the things we need to do. John chapter 9, verse 4. Jesus made the statement, "I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work." Jesus Himself prioritized His life. There's opportunities as they come. Utilize them because they may not last forever. And so whether it's driving through Dallas or maybe resisting the devil, we need to be prepared. And when we have our lives, our priorities in order, one great benefit is that we are prepared for each occasion. Be able to do that one thing that's really important. Now, I know ladies would be thinking here, "I just wish I only had one thing to do." Well, if you're just driving, do that, because you know how hectic it is when you're driving, answering the cell phone, you're on the radio, putting on makeup. Just, if you're driving, just do one thing. That's great. But then, how about in life? Do we just do one thing? Many times I'll end up seeing women spending time washing clothes and dishes and feeding children, you know, the little kids, and then sometimes it's the big kids, old husbands, and sometimes making phone calls, checking on the sick and people, just making sure all the things that are inside and outside the home, all the things that need to be done. And so, yes, probably you can't just be doing just one thing at a time. Well, that's called multitasking and prioritizing. That's a whole nother lesson. So, or is it? So, benefit number two. When we properly prioritize our lives, we accomplish a whole lot. We get a lot done, a lot accomplished. If you're able to do multiple tasks at the same time, great, more power to you. Just make sure it's the most important things that need to be done in that order. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Apostle Paul had many things to do. Had a lot of souls on his mind. Philippians 3, verse 13, he says, "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, that didn't mean he only did one thing. That meant that the one main thing he did was press toward the goal, press for the prize. And when we do many things, don't get distracted. As with Luke chapter 10, Martha being able to be distracted by the many things she did, because that will get us off track. In Nehemiah's day, a great example, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. They had a mind to work and they were able to accomplish a whole lot. It says, "So we built the wall and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Jesus, speaking to His disciples, said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest." Notice His request. For laborers, for workers, to do the most important task that needed to be done, that needed to be accomplished. Now, can you imagine in this time and in this setting, Jesus is seeing the harvest in the souls of men and women? Do you have a mind to work? And are your priorities such to be able to accomplish them in your life? Many of us will say yes, at least to the first question. Oh, what was that first question? Do you have a mind to work? Most of us would say yes. Indeed, to do God's will, that's what we want to do, but the question is, do we have our priorities in order to be able to accomplish such? I dare say that it is frustrating to God. I can't really read it from Scripture as much as sit back and contemplate and think, but frustrating to God. He gives us the talents, He gives us the time, He gives us the ability to accomplish great tasks. And we just don't get them done. We won't do it. Now maybe this just applies to me. Maybe I'm the only one that doesn't do what I know I need to do all the time and apply and utilize the talents that God's given to me. But I dare say that each and every one of us have talents that we need to utilize so that we will be ready for the opportunities. God truly is long-suffering to forgive us of our misdeeds and our misappropriations of our time and talents. May we dedicate our life and our minds prioritizing our lives to do His will. If you really want to feel frustration, hire somebody by the hour to do a particular task. I say by the hour because they don't care how long it takes. And watch them. It's kind of like government workers. They can end up utilizing that shovel from the top end only. They need it as a chin rest instead of putting it to work. Sometimes I think we are just like the government workers, just like the county workers, where you see five shovels in hands under chins. And I guarantee you that is not how it works, to dig holes to get the job done. But yet many times we're not prepared. We're not willing. We have not availed ourselves and we are not getting the job done. And we sit back and think, where's all the accomplishments? Where's the results? You don't get results without working. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And number three, great benefit, proper priorities. Things are a whole lot simpler. Have you ever heard of the simple life? You know, getting back to the basics, somewhat laid back, simpler life without cell phones, without the internet, without TV, the luxuries of life. You know, things that creep into our lives and we really don't think about it. Have you ever read what people say they can't live without? Eyeliner, mascara, cell phone, flat iron, perfume, my computer, DVR, Diet Coke, Dr. Pepper, NPR, Fox News, Reese's Pieces. The list could go on and on. Now the question is, what does it take to live? Maybe even a better question is, what does it take for a Christian to thrive? Two fundamental questions that have completely different answers, but most generally have the same answer. Comes down to a dollar figure a lot of times. Many church meetings are conducted that deal strictly with finances, marriages that have difficulties because or over finances. Cities, states, countries all have the same problem. So why are these people in groups, why are they so concerned with money? Because they want stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 and following, he says, now godliness with contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 and following. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But whoever desires to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, the church began in Jerusalem and they lived a satisfied life, having simplicity of heart. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47, but specifically verse 46, it says, Acts 2, verse 46, they ate their food with simplicity, or their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Simple. So what does it really take to live physically? Food, water, clothing. We'd say shelter is an essential, but Jesus Himself said, I have no place to lay my head. All of us have those. All of those are supplied. What does it take to live? Many times we require too much. Therefore, our priorities are out of order. How about as a Christian to live? How about for a Christian to thrive? What takes God's Word? Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We are not to chase after the wind, for we will reap the whirlwind. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And things will be a lot simpler. Number four, blessings and priorities help us through tough situations. We have to your left the memory verse of Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the Word. How were they able to do that? They were persecuted. Persecution came in the form of Saul of Tarsus, killing and binding, wreaking havoc among the church. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the Word. They had the proper priorities. They were prepared for the worst case scenarios, which God made it to be the best case scenario. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul said, to the present hour we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. Tough situations when we have our proper priorities in order. A great benefit will be God's help, and we're going to be able to make it through. It won't matter how tough. There is not a situation that can be tough enough that we cannot make it. Every situation we'll be able to overcome and endure. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 28 mentions many things that we have never, not once, had to endure. I don't know of a person, personally, that's been beaten with many stripes. I don't know of people having suffered shipwreck, beaten with a rod. There's many things that are listed within that text. How about weariness and toil for the cause of Christ? I hope we have. How about sleeplessness often? I hope we have for the cause of Christ. Hunger and thirst? Very few, maybe a few. Fastings often? In cold and nakedness? I don't know of one person that's going naked for the cause of Christ, or suffering cold and frostbite and hurt. So having our priorities will help us through the toughest of situations. Apostle Paul being able to explain that very, very well. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 22 through 28. Now another benefit to proper priorities. Satisfaction. Now I know that just sounds odd. That just seems a little bit weird. That if we prioritize our life in accordance with God's will, doing the most important thing that we possibly can do, there's going to be satisfaction at the other end. Now this statement I'm going to make may be a little bit of a shocker and something, maybe it's intended to be such. The happiest dogs and the happiest children are those that are doing what they're supposed to do. The happiest dogs and the happiest children are doing what they're supposed to do. Christians are no different. People are no different. When you know you're doing what's best and right, Katie, bar the door. That's it. You're going to do it. And you're happy and content. You're satisfied with whatever happens. If we are to be the happiest people here on this earth, John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. If we are to have the abundant life in the here and now, we have to prioritize. And if we prioritize our life, we certainly will reap and gain the benefit of the best life in the here and now. 3 John, verses 2 and following. 3 John, starting in verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. That is one request of God that I dare say we don't want prayed sometimes applying to us. Our spiritual condition versus our physical condition. Many times our physical condition outweighs our spiritual, our priorities, completely lopsided. As though our physical condition matters. When we celebrated the 4th of July not too long ago, did you think about God does not really care whether or not you are free or a slave in this land, in this life? He cares whether or not you serve Him and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man, the most important thing we can possibly be doing. So, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. 3 John, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Now, notice verse 4. I have no greater joy. What caused joy, he says, than to hear that my children walk in truth. If we want the satisfaction that God supplies, we're going to live as God commands. And we will teach others, and others will obey. And we will gain the greatest of satisfaction, the greatest of joys. Now, in no way is this intended to be a boastful or a bragging event. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, Paul made that statement. He says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. In fact, he takes it the other aspect. He said, it is of necessity. Necessity is laid upon me to preach. He says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. If we do not prioritize our life, if we do not do what God has commanded, woe, condemnation, and watch out is to come. He says, for if I do this willingly, I have a reward. May we willingly participate. May we willingly do His will. Many of you have children. Don't you love it when your child says, Dad, what do you want me to do? And he wants to do it. It doesn't matter what do you want me to do? An open book. We are God's children. We need to ask our Heavenly Father, what do you want me to do? And be willing to do it. It's of the utmost priority. That's first. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You're given opportunities. Take them. You're given talents. Use them. Make the most of every moment and do your best to do your best with the proper priorities and focus on the most important goals. You'll be able to accomplish all that is needed, all that is necessary for a successful life in the here and now, and in the life to come. May God richly bless you as you seek to do His will.